This is KCUR 89.3. Kansas Governor Sam Brownback's prized income tax exemption for businesses is gone. Brownback says that's bad for Kansas families and for job creation. But as KCUR's Brian Thompson reports, a big contingent of business owners who benefited from the exemption, namely farmers, don't seem too upset about it, although some have called their accountants. Here's more.
Jay Langley, a CPA in Salina, has a lot of clients who farm. Take a hypothetical farmer with an income of $60,000.
Of course, previously to this year, they would have been paying no tax on that.
This year, things are different, and the state income tax changes lawmakers passed are retroactive to January. So come tax time next April, that hypothetical farmer making $60,000,
they would be paying $2,340. Under the new tax brackets and the fact that they are now taxable.
Rich Feltz is planting soybeans into the stubble of his recently harvested wheat crop between Independence and Coffeyville in southeast Kansas.
First crop beans are pretty well taken care of for everybody, but everybody's finishing up on some double crop beans, beans that are following the wheat crop.
Among the roughly 330,000 business owners whose income had been exempted from state tax were 53,000 farmers. Feltz, who's also president of the Kansas Farm Bureau, was one of them.
It was nice to be able to have a few extra dollars from wheat. They did have that exemption.
But the few thousand he saved on income taxes over the last 4 years wasn't nearly enough to hire another farmhand or buy a new tractor.
Maybe in large industry there was enough dollars that it made a significant difference, but most people, I think, it was just absorbed into the operation.
That may help explain why farmers didn't put up a fight over the elimination of the income tax exemption.
I didn't hear many of my friends, Farm Bureau wives or personal wives, that said, hey, we got to do everything we hang on to this.
The Kansas Farm Bureau didn't take a formal position on the exemption when it was passed in 2012 or this year when it was repealed. Rural banker Kyle Campbell of Abilene says what farmers were really afraid of was a property tax hike. In recent years, lawmakers have threatened to up the assessment of farmland as a way to raise more revenue for education and balance the state budget.
The biggest component of what most of our farmers own is real estate, and then you're going to put an ongoing tax on that. It would have been very detrimental to them.
Republican State Representative and House Tax Committee Chair Stephen Johnson crunches some numbers on his own 2016 property tax statements.
A few more of these to add up.
To come up with the same $600 million the income tax changes are expected to generate, Johnson says it would take another property tax levy nearly equal to the 20 mills the state already requires to fund public schools. He applies that figure to the 1,100 acres of land he farms in the Salina area.
And grand total for my operation is $2,176 would be the property tax that I would pay annually. And that is meaningfully more than income tax that I'd pay annually.
A huge mill levy like that would be alarming to farmers because, unlike with income tax, in the notoriously volatile farming business, property tax is due in good years and bad.
It's another set of hundreds of dollars that I must clear to be profitable versus the income tax, which will hit me in the years when I actually have positive income.
But while they'll now have to pay income tax in those profitable years, farmers can once again claim deductions and losses, and that makes the new tax law, on balance, easier to swallow. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Brian Thompson.